There are approximately 6,000 homeless men, women, and children in the Philadelphia area. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission strives to feed, clothe, and shelter every member of the homeless community that steps through our doors. At Sunday Breakfast, we serve 3 healthy meals a day on every day of the year. An average of 600 meals are served daily. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will continue to ensure that no one goes hungry in Philadelphia. You can help by hosting a food drive, donating, or volunteering today. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're the God of this.
Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the costs needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
When you're in the Lehigh Valley, you're welcome to worship with us at Calvary Baptist Church, 5300 Green Pond Road in Easton, Pennsylvania. Our worship services are each Sunday at 8:45 and 10:20. We seek to be a church that practices the ABCs of the Christian faith. A, we try to appeal to all ages of people. B, be Bible-based in our preaching and teaching ministry. And C, be Christ-centered in all our ministries. God bless you and have a great day.
That was Pastor Larry Bird. Check out his website at calvarybaptistpa.org.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And He's given us new life. This is Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi.
Good morning. This is Carla DeDessi with Your Family Matters right here on 1180 WFYL here in the Philadelphia area. Thank you so much for joining me this Friday morning and every Friday morning from 8 until 9. How are your kids doing back to school? Are you praying for them? Have you put on the full armor of God this morning? These are some studies that we have been doing over the last couple of weeks. If you have not listened to my podcasts on preparing for battle, which is taken from Ephesians, and you have not looked at my podcast from the power of prayer, which is taken from our Lord's Prayer, I encourage you to go on to my podcast, listen, and share them with friends and family. I am spending this month just in the Bible. Usually I have a lot of experts calling in and they're sharing their newest book or their newest movie or what their nonprofit's doing, but I've really felt led this month, and for as long as I feel led to do so, to use God as my expert. I want to go to God's Word and identify what the greatest expert of all is telling us about marriage, prayer, life, the battles that we have every day. He is our great expert. So I'm really encouraging all of my listeners, as well as myself, all of our families, to get back to the Bible. And that's what this series is being called, Back to the Bible. Get back to the Bible. Read from the first source what God is telling us to do. So I would like to share with you what I'm entitling Twisted Truths and False Teachers this morning. And where I was led to look was in Corinthians. You may not know a lot about the book of Corinthians. It's in the New Testament. St. Paul wrote it, and he was writing it to the people that lived in Corinth. And that is how we got the book name Corinthians, because this is a letter, a handwritten letter that he wrote to the people who lived in Corinth. And in this particular letter, in this chapter, he is speaking very passionately and boldly to people that he believes are very rebellious, and he calls them the Corinthians. The church at Corinth had been invaded by false teachers. Honestly, it sounds like many of our churches today in the 21st century. Honestly, churches have been invaded with false teachers from the beginning of time. But it's nice that we can look at what Paul is teaching us thousands of years ago in about 60 AD, and it can be applicable. It is applicable to us today. He shares with us in Corinthians that these false teachers were very eloquent of speech. They had impeccable manners, and they were going after Paul. Oh, yes, they were. They were going after him. They were trying to attack his credentials. They were pulling out all the stops. Again, this is a reminder of the false teachers in our churches today, in our co-ops, in our Bible studies. False teachers are very eloquent. They do have fabulous manners. Imagine if they were going after St. Paul back in the day, how much more are they going to go after us and our families and our children today? So how do we protect our families from twisted truths and false teachers? Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. This is what St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. And I encourage you actually to turn there with me if you're able to. I know a lot of people are driving, so you may not have time or be able to, but here we go. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. For such are false prophets and apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, St. Paul says, for Satan himself transforms, we're using the present verb there, transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing, it's no big deal, he's saying, if Satan's ministers also transfer themselves into ministers of righteousness. Listen, if this is what the leader, the devil's doing, obviously all of his minions are going to do the same thing, is what Paul's telling us. And then he says something very interesting in the last part of verse 15, whose end will be according to their works. So that is what St. Paul is telling us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. So before we go into dissecting this together, Why don't we just go before God, the creator of the universe, our heavenly Father, and just ask him for his blessing on our hour together and our words. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you this morning and I thank you and praise you for the privilege of being able to bring your word to our listeners today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help those of us who call ourselves Christians to be able to have your insight, your wisdom, and your discernment, that we would be able to identify those false doctrines from your truth. I pray, Heavenly Father, for all of the leaders in our churches and even the leaders in our government and country, that they would be able to identify truth from evil, that they would be truth seekers. I pray, Heavenly Father, for the words that I believe you are putting into my mouth. I want them to be your words, your ideas, coming from your word, the Bible. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just quiet all of our spirits and that we all would learn what it is that you wish for us to learn about false teachers and bogus doctrine today, Heavenly Father. In your precious and holy name we pray, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15. Let's look at what verse 13 says. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. This is telling us, it's telling me and you, that they are pretending. They are pretending to be one of us, but they're not. We need to understand as Christians and churchgoers and Bible study leaders that false teachers and false doctrine is sitting next to us in the pews at church. Sometimes it's even coming out of the mouths of our pastors and our preachers. That's why it's so important that we understand what the Bible says so that we can identify these false teachers, because they're pretending to be the disciples of Christ. They're not coming into our churches saying, I'm a follower of Satan. They are coming into our churches saying that they are a disciple of Christ. They are an ambassador of Christ. When I was reading this week, I took a look at Webster's Dictionary, pulled it out. You know, I pull it out a lot when I'm studying and when I'm doing Bible studies. And I looked up what the word false means, and this is what it says. It refers to that which is untrue or bogus. So Paul is saying here, there are bogus and untrue apostles in the church. They're pretending to be apostles of Christ. And although these intruders claim to be Christ delicates, friends, they are absolutely not. How does Paul know? He gives us a little bit of how he knows in his second piece there, where he says, deceitful workers. He is looking at their methods. How are they working? What are they doing? What do their actions show? He is lumping the false apostles into the same group with the deceitful workmen. Let me share something with you. As I was studying and I was reading and I was talking to people, it came across my reading that FBI and bankers, when they are trying to identify counterfeit bills, so when they're trying to identify if hundreds, thousands, even 20s are counterfeit, the way that we train our FBI agents and our bankers is they don't study the false or the counterfeit money. What they do, this was so interesting to me because I never thought about this, is that the bankers, the FBI agents, they go into a room and they study for hours upon hours, weeks, and they always go back and study again. They study real money. They feel it. They smell it. They hear how it sounds when you crumple it up. How does it fall to the ground? They study every aspect of real money so that they are able to identify the counterfeit money. In the same way, Christians, we should be smelling, touching, tasting, reading again, every part of the Bible so that we understand God's truths, so that when something counterfeit comes across our path, we will easily and readily identify it. These bankers and these FBI guys do not just study real money once and assume that they are experts. They go back and they study it over and over and over again so that they can remember how real money smells, how it feels, how it looks in all different kinds of lighting. In the same way, Christians,
We must continue to go back to God's Word daily. I want to urge you daily. Don't do it weekly. Don't do it monthly. Definitely don't do it once a year. If you claim to be a Christian and you're putting Christ at the front of your name, a follower of Christ, Christian, then please try to get into His Word and pray with Him daily so that we are able to identify the false doctrines and the false leaders. I believe this is why so many false doctrines and false leaders have popped up in our 21st century churches, because people that are in church with us, that sit with me in my Bible study, do not know what the Bible says. They've never read it, or they might read it here or there. And they are following people instead of following God, who is the ultimate expert, and Jesus Christ, who is our model. So let's move on to verse 14, where Paul says, "No wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." So here he's saying to us, you know, if Satan, who's the ringleader of evil, is pretending that he's an angel of light, everyone that is working with him, for him, they may not actually say, I am on Satan's side, but they are not on Christ's side, people. They are not on God's side. Yes, they're also posing as people who are angels of truth, angels of light, angels of righteousness. This shouldn't be a surprise to mature Christians who already know that Satan's most destructive efforts are accomplished when he transforms himself into an angel of light. This is when he had the fall from heaven, when he transformed himself into an angel of light and took a whole bunch of angels with him. So he deceptively changes his outward appearance. If Satan finds it very advantageous to masquerade around as an angel of light, don't you think that all of his minions are going to find it quite helpful as well? This statement by Paul, when I was reading it and over again and studying it and thinking about what I needed to say to all of you and what God wanted me to learn from this, this word sobering kept coming into my mind. Paul's statement is so very sobering here. He is telling us Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Yeah, of course you're going to have false doctrine in the church. They're going to walk in and say that they're an angel of light. Don't be deceived by it. Don't think, oh, maybe I'm the one that's wrong. If you know your Bible and there's somebody that's coming into your church and is causing division and chaos and problems constantly, those are red flags. What are they trying to get you all to do? So look and find the inner truth, which is looking to the Bible, not to a person. Again, Paul is urging us, this is a serious charge. And he also makes the comment that Corinthians are being seduced and they're being divided. As Christians in our churches, in our homeschool co-ops, in our prayer meetings, in our families, our Christian families, we should not be divided in our commitment to Christ. If we are all keeping focused on Jesus Christ and we know what Jesus Christ wants us to do because we are all focused in His Bible and we are in His Word, then we should not be divided on things. You know, being a member of the Dedesi family, that's my last name, you know, it's not about Carla. Being in my family, it's about Jesus Christ. And when I start pulling and thinking that it's about me is when there is problems and there is division. And so I urge some of you, because we all struggle with this. Many of us come from Christian families, and there might be somebody that married into our family, or maybe it's somebody that is blood related and they are claiming to be Christians, but yet they seem to always be divisive. They are never creating any peace. They are constantly causing divisions. Yes, they're still claiming Christ, but what are they truly believing, and what are their actions showing? So just a heads up that this doesn't just happen in our churches with Christians. It also happens in our own families. And I don't want to allow evil to distract me so that I'm putting all of this time and energy into that one person when it's nonsense. We have a bigger object as Christians to further Christ's kingdom. It's not about furthering one person's kingdom and how they feel about things. It's about looking at the longer timeline, the object here, which is furthering Christ's kingdom. In verse 15, Paul is saying to us, Therefore, it is no great thing if the devil's ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Listen to what Paul is telling the Corinthians back in Corinth in 60 AD, which is so applicable to us today. He is saying, stand on guard. If these people are pretending to be ministers of righteousness and light, but they really are not, their end, their consequences are going to be the same as their leaders. And we all know from reading our Bibles, and I urge you to read this and not take my word for it, that the devil, evil, is not going to win. It is the biggest loser. And so we need to understand that we do not want to be a false teacher or follow false doctrine. I look at myself and I say, am I following false doctrine? I know where those consequences are going to end up. It ends in destruction. The devil is not going to win. We know what the end result's going to be. He is going to end up in hell with all of his minions and with all of his followers. I believe in hell. Do you? The Bible is salt and peppered with the word hell, or a place that is separated from God. And it is a place that is a place of justice. It's a place where people are going that do not choose the path of righteousness and light and nobility, which points all to God and Jesus Christ, who made the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. As I was preparing these verses for myself and for all of you, I kept thinking about a personal situation in my own life. And I was talking to my father about it and my mom, and I was saying, you know, my aunt keeps coming to my mind because this was such a huge part of my family's life back in the 70s and 80s, because my father's sister and her family, her husband and her children, they chose to follow a man who started something that was called The Body. And my father said to me, Carla, you need to talk about it because it does tie in so well. My father, let me give you a little bit of a background. I have the blessing of coming from a long heritage of Christian grandparents, Christian parents, Christian aunts and uncles. We all had the privilege of being raised in the church, and that does not make us perfect. We are not perfect. I am not perfect. But we had a lot of biblical teaching in our minds. I had a lot of family and friends that went to Christian schools, Christian higher education. So they are not lacking for information. But what I urge you today is that despite all of our credentials, it doesn't matter. We need to be reading the word for ourselves every day. We need to be asking God, what does he want us to learn? Not that you can't read books and that you can't admire a pastor or a priest, but do not follow that person. You find out what God is teaching you and your family to do, and you do that. So my aunt and uncle came across a group that appeared to be Christ-like, and they were called The Body. And their leader was a man named Sam Fife. And they decided to follow Sam Fife's teaching. And Sam Fife told his followers that he had extra knowledge that was given to him by the Holy Spirit, and that if you followed him, he would impart this extra knowledge to all of you. And some of the extra knowledge that he was imparting to my aunt and uncle and many others back in the 70s and 80s was that it was wrong to go to church. He was anti-church. He was anti-family. He was anti all of the holidays, no Christmas, no Easter, no celebration of birthdays. He was anti-education. No one was allowed to go to college, no higher education. Everyone had to homeschool. I immediately saw a difference in my aunt and uncle. They weren't around for any of the holidays. They weren't coming around for family dinners, which my grandmother had every Thursday evening. My aunt's outer appearance changed. She started wearing very long skirts. She stopped wearing makeup. She stopped wearing any accessories, jewelry. And I didn't see my cousins anymore. So my father and my grandparents and some other very wonderful Christian people who were very grounded in God's word saw enormous football field red flags about what they were seeing and hearing from my aunt and uncle that the body was telling them to do and to say. So they began doing a ton of research, trying to help point their family members to the truth and trying to show them that this was false doctrine or false leader that they were following. And friends, listeners, this was in a time that we didn't have Google. You couldn't go on and punch in Sam Fife. You couldn't go in and plug in the body and find out everything that they have and everything that's ever been written about them. This is going back to the 70s and 80s when my father had to go to the library and look up tons of research, which is exactly what he did. My father spent a lot of time and love and energy trying to point his sister to truth. And what he uncovered about Sam Fife is that he was a defrocked Presbyterian minister. And what he was doing at the time was he had left his family, his wife and his children, because he was saying that God was telling him to marry another woman and that they were going to have a very special child. And this special child was going to really change the world for Jesus Christ. I mean, it sounds bizarro, right? But if a family that's reared in a Christian home can be fooled by this, it just needs to heighten all of us. It needs to urge us all. It's a warning that we need to constantly be in God's word daily. So my father uncovered this man, Sam Fife, and his lie and his evilness. God would never tell us to leave a wife and children to go and have a special child with another woman. Never, ever, ever. Well, that wife never was able to conceive, the second wife. So he went back to the first wife. His followers were not questioning his bizarre behavior. It was about this same time that my aunt and uncle sold everything that they had and gave it to Sam Fife and his organization, and they moved to Alaska to live on a communal farm where they could all live out their days the way that Sam Fife said that they should be living. They lived off the land. I remember my grandmother would get letters from them. They were eating fried dandelions, and they had it really rough up there. And the saddest thing, because they all gave their money away and everything that they did make, they were giving to Sam Fife. A couple years into my aunt and uncle moving up to Alaska, Sam Fife crashed with his new family on his private jet. So again, this leader that the body was following was not doing what he was telling them to do. That's a huge red flag, friends. Huge red flag. So my dad and my grandparents were attacked by these family members. They called them terrible names and said that they were demonic and believing lies themselves. Because again, Paul is telling us that people who are false teachers do pretend to be teachers of light, angels of light. And that's what Sam Fife was doing. And that's what the body was doing. And they had all these sheep following them. The sad part is that my aunt and uncle, they still live in Alaska with all of their children and grandchildren, but it's been a real difficult battle for them just looking from the outside in. I don't want to judge them, but I'm not sure where any of them stand with Jesus Christ in their life. And that's the saddest part, that when we follow false doctrine and false teachers, we are sacrificing our children and our grandchildren. They don't have the opportunity to know the real truth. Now, we pray that God will be gracious for all of us who follow false doctrine and false truth. So that's just a personal story that I wanted to share with you. You know, and even thinking about today with the Duggars. The Duggars, I'm sure, are a very nice family, and they may or may not be Christians. But the problem with their lifestyle is that I knew so many people that were following the Duggars' Christianity. I call them Duggarites. Let's all call them Duggarites for the purpose of this show. And they were having 19 kids and counting too, and they were all homeschooling, and they all wore clothes that went from their chin all the way down to their ankles. They were super modest. And understand that I am not, if God is telling you that that's the way that you need to raise your family, then I can't tell you otherwise. But don't ever think that you're more accepted by God or you're a better Christian because you have 19 kids and counting. You are homeschooling all of your children, because you're not. The Bible doesn't say anything about homeschooling our kids. It really doesn't say anything about wearing clothes from our chin down to our ankles. So it deeply saddens me that they do have what I would consider a tragedy with their oldest son. And I think that it's a lesson for all of us not to follow a family, not to follow a person. We should be going to the Bible to identify what God wants us to do for our family. Because I homeschooled my children for the younger years, but slowly I am mainstreaming them into public school. That may not be what God is guiding your family to do. He might be guiding them to Christian school, or he might be guiding them to public school for the whole entire time. I urge you to seek God's will for your life in his gospel, in his word. So let's take a look at how do we identify people who are truly people of God. When I was studying Corinthians and when I was studying this topic for us today, there are four things that I'd like you to be aware of. I'm going to call them the cliff notes for today's lesson on twisted truths and false doctrines. One, people of God are continually running away from evil and running towards good. I've said this before to all of us. When we see evil, we are to put on our running shoes and run as quickly as we can in the opposite direction and keep running. Do not go back. Flee evil, the Bible says. So that is our first cliff note. People of God are continually running from evil. They do not dabble with it, and they are running towards goodness. Number two, people of God are known by what they follow after. Are you looking at a Christian woman or a Christian man and you think, gosh, they're such a person of God. What are they following after? I pray that they're following after heavenly things, godly things. That should be what their life is characterized by. I pray that that is what I am following after. I'm not following after Carla DeDessi's agenda. I'm following after spiritual things, God's agenda. The third thing, people of God are known for what we stand for. What are you willing to die for, Christian? What are you willing to stand up for? I can think what I'm willing to stand up for right away. I could care less about my earthly things, but I am willing to stand up for life, all kinds of life. I'm willing to stand up for traditional marriage. I'm willing to stand up for Jesus Christ. So what, I ask you, what are you willing to stand and fight for? And lastly, we will know godly people by what they are faithful to. Where do we spend the most amount of our time? What are we faithful and loyal to? Are we faithful to God's word? Are we faithful to the church? Are we faithful to his ministries, his organizations? And sometimes that's hard today because there's a lot of false teachers and doctrines in our churches. There's a lot of false teachers and doctrines in our nonprofit organizations. But again, those four things are your cliff notes and your take-homes from today. We want to look for people who are continually running from evil towards good. We want to look at what people are following after. We will know people of God for what they are fighting for and standing up to. And we will know people of God what they are faithful to. Objectives for your family. Let's talk about that. One, as young as 2 years old, even younger, begin sitting with your child on your lap. Let them see you reading the Bible. Read the Bible to them. Read Bible stories. Esther, Ruth, David, Job. They are not perfect people, but they are godly people. They are not perfect people, but they are seekers of truth. Point them out to your kids. Two, get in the habit of reading your Bible every day so that you can teach your children to read their Bible every day. We should not be going to the Bible once a month or once a year when we're in trouble. Sometimes we go to the Bible when things are all happy and fabulous for us. We should be reading the Bible every day to hear what God is speaking into our lives. Remember, the person who was studying real money didn't just study it once in his lifetime. He goes back and continues to study real money every single solitary day, that FBI agent, that banker. They study authentic dollar bills so that they will be able to identify the counterfeit dollar bills. So we want our children to see us reading our Bibles daily, and we want to encourage them I got my little girls when they were 2 years old, little children's Bibles. They were not able to read yet, but they would sit down next to me while I was having my quiet time, and they would sit with their Bible and look at the pages, and I would always follow up with, what did you learn today? What was the story? What did it look like? And of course, family devotions is excellent. We should be having our own personal Bible devotions every day, but we should have our family devotions every day too. Does this sound like it's going to take a lot of time? Yes, it is going to take a lot of time. But the investment is worthwhile if we are able to combat the bogus church leaders and the bogus doctrine. 4, we want to always encourage our children to go to the Bible when we have a question about anything. When our children come to us and say, Mom, I'm not sure about the definition of marriage, you should pull your Bible out and go and seek what God says about the definition of marriage. When they are asking you about our government, you should be going to the Bible and finding out what the Bible says about government. When they're coming to you and asking you about when does life start and what should we be protecting, you go to the Bible and you figure out what that is. We want them to see the Bible as our life source, our practical life source. I remember a funny story when I was 16 years old, my parents, I wasn't going to the prom. And I was one of those kids that never really asked. I just obeyed and listened. I had another brother that always asked the questions and they gave my parents a run for their money. But thank the Lord, he's doing extremely well spiritually. But my path was a little bit different. I kind of just always obeyed and I always did what appeared to be the right thing externally. And when I was 16, I really started asking, well, why am I not allowed to go to the prom? And my parents said, well, because things happen there that we don't want you to dabble with. And I said, but I've never dabbled with those things before and you can trust me. And so they came back to me prayerfully after a couple of days and said, you know what? The Bible does not say anything about your not being able to go to the prom. And so you have shown yourself responsible and worthy. We love your friends. And let's go dress shopping. So we went out and I bought a gorgeous dress and it was super fun. And I went to my prom and I had a fun time. I had a great, great, innocent, fun time. But I'm so thankful that my parents were never the kind of Christians that said, God says so and that's why you have to do it. They were, because that would have made me very susceptible to false teaching. And it would have made my parents very susceptible to false teaching. My parents always said, let's go and see what the Bible has to say about it. And they were acting in faith a lot of times because things that they weren't, my mother and father never went to their proms. Proms didn't exist in the 50s, at least, or maybe they did, but they did not go to their prom. So there was a little bit of unknown there, and they had only heard very terrible things about that. So I'm very thankful that they always went to the Bible, and they didn't do what a man or a pastor or a preacher was saying. They did how they felt led by God, by God's word. So there are some objectives for your family this week. Lastly, I'd like to read the parable of the wise man, which is in Matthew 7, 24 to 29. I know that you know this parable well. We all sing this song in Sunday school. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. Let me read that to you quickly. It's found in Matthew 7, 24 to 29. Jesus Christ says this, a wise man built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and the house did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. My prayer for my family today and for your family today is that our families would be built on the rock being God, that we would not build our houses on sand. That is too tough, Christians. Do not build your house on sand, which is constantly shaking and it's being shifted and it is going to fall. I urge all of us to build our family and our houses on the word of God and on the Bible. So enjoy this song. I hope it brings back some childhood memories for you. And for you that are not aware of this song, I hope that it puts a smile on your face and that you're singing it all day long. And remember this week to build your house every day on the rock of Jesus Christ.
Upon the rock, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came a-tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Upon the sand, and the rains came a-tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went splat. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come.
Hi, this is Carla Dedesi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Hello, once again. This is Nancy Houston Hansen, CEO of Capstone Legacy Foundation, which is such a privilege to be able to speak to you about some of the things that we have to offer people who really want to serve the Lord in the sense of having their funds, their dreams, their visions, their desires really fostered by a group that is here to help, giving offers of wide variety of charitable giving tools and solutions for people who are givers in the Philadelphia area and in the Northeast Corridor. We are located at 900 West Valley Road in Wayne, PA, Suite 203. And we're here today to talk a little bit about prayer as part of what Capstone has to offer our people. And we do have a prayer room that is open 5 days a week and is manned by Barbara Miller, and others who have come to just share their heart, their hopes, and support for the community in the prayer room. So I'm going to introduce Barbara Miller, who's been a wonderful partner for me for many years. We have walked together in the things of the Lord. She loves to take Capstone and all of you on the radio before the Lord daily, and any who would have prayer needs. That is one of the things that has been the formulation behind Capstone, and we consider prayer of vital importance. As a matter of fact, that really helps us to discern right from wrong and truth and non-truth as we take things before the Lord and really seek His advice and His protection and His covering and His will and purpose for our lives. So welcome, Bart.
Thank you, Nancy. It's a joy to be here and really speak to our audience about prayer. We have a prayer room that's been established as we started the Capstone part, and people are welcome to come in and pray anytime 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, and to get prayer. And also, today I just want to mention that it's really necessary for us to sit before Him, to sit before our Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him time to really show us and tell us just exactly what the times are and how He wants to show us what we should be doing for such a time as this. He wants us to really prepare our hearts and our minds and our spirits to be ready for His coming. It could be at any time. We want to understand that the trumpet will blow and Christ will come. Before that time, He wants us to learn more and more of Him, just exactly how we are to live our lives. And it is my privilege to also be in there, as I've said, praying every day, for some part of the day at least, but a good part really, as He really says, sit at my feet and learn of me, Barbara, and I will teach you the way in which you should go. Teach them that they have to prepare for the days that are coming. We must not just go by days without really and truly importuned before the throne of grace for His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding for such a time as this. And again, to prepare ourselves and be prepared for the days that are coming. So, Father, we just thank You that You are always there for us. You are always ready to have time with us and teach us and love us and direct us and correct us. And so today, we just thank You for Your goodness and mercy to Your children. We ask that Your children will really take it seriously for the time that we're in and understand we must really ready ourselves for such a time as this, where there's a safe harbor here at Capstone Legacy Foundation for people to come and hear the Word of God and share it and really come away refreshed and renewed and strengthened. So, Lord Jesus, for today, we just thank You and give You all the praise, and we give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Barb. That means so much to have people realize we are here to pray for them, and they can seek the Master themselves, and He loves to hear people come to Him and importune before Him. And He's the one who's the discerner, and He's the one who's the equipper, and He's the one who shows us the right way in which we should go. And all He wants from us is time to spend in His presence. Now, one of the things I wanted to go over with you today just quickly is how Capstone serves you, the public. And one of the things I'm going to just focus on today is about people's giving objectives. Have you ever wondered about your giving objectives? And what is the most efficient tax strategy in giving? A Capstone Legacy Foundation is here to help you navigate through the process of charitable giving. Capstone serves givers in four major ways. First of all is education. We provide donors/givers with information about charitable giving tools and solutions, which they can use to accomplish their giving objectives. And these are varied and can be really crafted to meet individual needs. We also have solutions which empower donors with customized solutions designed to help you accomplish your giving goals and fulfill your passion for Christian ministry. We feel Christian ministry is so vital and it's very unresourced. And if we really realized what our resources can mean locally, nationally, and even internationally to people who are striving so hard to help others and to minister to others, to really grow into their own relationship with the Lord and to become solvent in their lives, or even help them medically, or help them with education, or help them to understand how we can grow in our faith and how that sustains and undergirds us, and that there's somebody who will be with us and will never leave us or forsake us. Solutions include donor-advised funds, which means it can serve as a family or private fund for an individual. Because it's in a community foundation, it does have the ability to give anonymity to those who would like to have it, and it can give them an opportunity to develop something that would be similar to their own foundation. We deal with non-liquid assets. That means it can be properties or even securities, because so many times people go to sell their assets and then give to charity. I don't think they realize they can give the asset outright to the charity. They get a total tax deduction, and therefore they can benefit to give the maximum that goes into their donor-advised fund or whatever charitable gift they want to give. And then they have that ability to take time to pray and think about and work through who they want to give to, or they may already know who they want to give to, and they might want to parcel it out in different ways, maybe a couple times a year, maybe a couple of years, and have that to give. And if anything changes with those for whom they want to give the gift, they still have some left that they can continue to pray and consider who they would like to give if the ones they're giving to either go out of business or change their direction. We also offer charitable gift annuities. This gives a person an opportunity to give a charitable gift up front and then have an annuity that they can then use to help sustain them for their lives, or maybe just have money that they'd like to decide that they might like to give to a family member who's struggling with the business situation, or people that they know who need help and they'd like to give them a certain stipend for on a monthly basis. And just there are just a variety of things that can be done. There are charitable trusts that can be established. We have something called a ministry charity project, which means we can house a 501c3 or non-501c3 ministry and allow it to have its 501c3 while they're growing and becoming much more to grow and to be able to develop their office and their ministry so that they can either go on into a 501c3 or continue to let us take all of their complexities out of their giving and make it much more fun. And that's one of the things we want to do. We do provide the administrative and back office support so that it's easier and freer of hassle. We take care of paperwork, tax filing, legal issues, writing checks, so that donors can just think about giving and grants they want to give instead of all the time-consuming administration, and it also can get expensive. We feel that donor intent is huge for Capstone and for the people who work with us, because we know that it is terribly, terribly important that they pray through, think through, and want to give, and that's their heart and their passion, and we are there to ensure that that's carried out, and that anything that's invested, even in the monies that are given, continue to work in the direction for which the donor would like their monies to go, even in the community. So we're there to protect donor intent today, tomorrow, and into the future. We have a variety of non-liquid assets that we can help with. S corporation stocks, C corporation stocks, LLC interest, limited partnership interest. Promissory notes are something that can be given into a foundation. Loan notes can be given, and it'd be kind of interesting to see how we can help people work through those with tax benefits. Tangible personal property, such as art, jewelry, artifacts, cars, boats, and others. I think people think of selling those things first and then giving whatever money's left over. And unfortunately, margins can be pretty steep when they're given to people who also need to have the benefit of getting some funds for their services. In our way, we can do that and minimize the amount of money that's taken out the top, because our goal is to get them into funds that serve the donor. And so this is our joy. This is our delight. We are here to help you in every way that we can. And I'm here at 610-688-8890. We have others that are here to answer the phone and serve you and your needs. To find out more about Capstone Legacy Foundation, many customized giving solutions and tools available at capstonelegacy.org. We are here to help you. God bless you, and God bless your living legacy.